Is a briefing update of the Earthquake Readiness Burnside Bridge project. Art, that's you.
Hi. So this is a briefing. My name is Art Graves with BDS, and as mentioned in the memorandum for this briefing, the Burnside Bridge Earthquake Readiness Project is here today to update the Commission on results and feedback from recent public outreach prior to the next steps, which is the NEPA process and the November 1st vote by Multnomah County and FHWA regarding the bridge options to carry forward, the purpose and need of the bridge replacement, and list of topics that need to be addressed. And Mike Pullen with the Multnomah County will kind of be able to address the specifics of that. So really quickly, just to I guess reorient you to the site. It is the Burnside Bridge, and the four options that have been carried forward so far fit within this boundary, this kind of fifth to fifth. But again, Mike will kind of hone in each option and kind of where it touches down on the east and west side. So zooming out, just to kind of give you some perspective of the Burnside Bridge and then adjacent historical amenities. Most importantly, the two historic districts on the west side. And then zooming in a little bit, and then adding landmarks, and adding the historic districts. Zooming out just a little bit, the blue dots actually were HRI properties. Again, adding landmarks and historic districts. And then this just has the aerial on it.
Okay.
Ready for the handoff?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, how does this going?
It's on now, isn't it?
Yep.
Thank you, commissioners. I'm happy to report on what we've been doing since we last spoke to you about this project in late June. And I think one reason we were invited to come back is there's a decision point coming up on November 1st where the county commissioners will be voting on the next milestone. And I'll tell you a little bit about that. So this slide shows the long-term schedule for both the earthquake-ready Burnside Bridge project, which are all the lines starting with the orange one down. And then above it, we have our current construction project, which we call the maintenance project. And the purpose of that is to just really buy us time until we get this new project built. So we're have about another year on the maintenance project, and we're just coming to the end of the feasibility study. And the purpose of the feasibility study was to come down to a reasonable small set of alternatives to study in depth in the NEPA process. And we're funded all the way through that green bar. We have funding to get us through the NEPA process, which would be the preferred alternative and probably the bridge type if we're going to build a new bridge. So what have we been doing? We've now published the draft feasibility study report, the purpose and need statement, and a range of four alternatives, which I'll be describing in a couple minutes here. And then we've conducted a lot of outreach to get input on the findings of the report and the range of alternatives. In October, we'll be meeting this week with senior agency staff from all the different jurisdictions involved in the project, including the City of Portland. Then next week, we have the first meeting of our community task force, about 21 representatives from different community organizations and a few at-large members. And then October 30th, we gather the policy group, which is mostly elected and agency leaders. And then on November 1st, the county commissioners will be adopting the feasibility study findings. And that kind of concludes the feasibility phase. And then we get into the environmental review phase. So this is just a graphic of the feasibility study, which is up on our project website, burnsidebridge.org, and the draft purpose and need statement. And frankly, we haven't had too many comments about either the findings or the purpose and need. The comments have been more about the range of alternatives. And here those are, the range of alternatives. So we are down to the final four. And just a reminder, we're not choosing a preferred alternative this year. That's probably about 18 months away. So we have three new bridge options, which are represented here by the green line and then the two yellow lines at the bottom, and then one retrofit. So the enhanced seismic retrofit, which we described, I think, last time we were here, is basically you have the same endpoints of the bridge as it is now. And you're basically putting a big concrete overcoat around the bridge and deep under its footings to stabilize it for an earthquake. We'd probably have no bridge in service for about 4 years. At least that bridge wouldn't be usable. We're looking at the possibility of a detour bridge, temporary one. So a lot of impacts to that historic resource, which we don't really have any renderings of that, but we'll have that for you in the next year or so. Then another one that would have a big impact on historic resources is the fixed bridge. So the advantage of the fixed bridge is it would never have to open for river traffic to pass by as the current bridge does. And fortunately, on the east side of the river, the land is fairly high, so it could still have the same touch point at MLK that the current bridge does. But if you think about the way the west side is, it's a lot lower. And currently the bridge ties in at Second Avenue, and early indications are it would tie in possibly at Fifth. The engineers, once we survey all the river users and find out what height they need, we might be able to pull that back maybe one block to Fourth Avenue. But when we say the bridge will go three more blocks than it currently does, you have to understand what that does to the grid system. Like there could be no Fourth Avenue. It could be blocked by the bridge itself. So big impacts. You have a lot of historic buildings that actually open up onto the bridge now between NATO and Second. So that's one of the new bridge options. The one that's third there on the page is basically the same footprint as the current bridge, also a movable span. It could be a vertical lift bridge like the Hawthorne, or it could be a bascule bridge that opens up and has sort of infinite space above, like the current Burnside. And finally, the last one is also a new movable bridge, but the twist here is that coming westbound onto the bridge from the east side, Cooch Street would be extended all the way out to the east side of the river. And the advantage of this is that large vehicles like trucks would be able to access the bridge westbound currently. With that tight S curve that was added to Cooch Street a few years ago, large vehicles, I think buses are about the largest ones that use the bridge. So currently big semi trucks can't go westbound across the bridge. So we've been out talking a lot. It says September engagement, but this slide kind of covers what we've been doing since we last spoke to you in June. We were actually featured at, it's not City Flub, it's City Club. That's quite a typo there. So we were actually on the Friday Forum a few months ago. And then we had we spoke out in East County where we actually recruited a few members for our task force from the Gresham and rural areas, since this is a county project. We've been talking with disaster organizations. ASCE is the American Society of Civil Engineers, spoke to them. We've been updating the public involvement and public information officers, and also the Central East Side Industrial Council and the Old Town Community Association. We had a really interesting event in late July where we got together with all the social service agencies, and there are many, especially on the Old Town side of the bridge, and these groups are impacted by construction, by whatever we build in the long term, and then their clients are many of the people who are kind of impacted by our construction too, including homeless individuals. So that's a group that is going to be well represented on our task force, and they've asked us, even the ones that aren't on the task force, have asked us to come back and brief them. So groups like Central City Concern and the Salvation Army and Portland Rescue Mission. So in September, we launched our public engagement as we had the feasibility study for people to take a look at. Had an online open house with about 1,700 people visited that, and I think about 150 comments came in. two in-person open houses, one on each side of the bridge. And then we did our first social media advertising and launched several videos about the project. I'd say the news media coverage was good. A lot of people have now heard of our project. I was a little disappointed that more people didn't come out to the open houses, but we did better with our online participation. And I think one reason is we're not down to choosing the one. We're just saying here are the four. So the decision doesn't feel final. So I think we'll have probably more participation as we get down to choosing the final one. So what did we hear from the public? With any earthquake project, people say, can you go any faster, as the earthquake could happen any day. So we continue to hear that. We also hear from people that even regardless of the earthquake risk, can we have a Burnside Bridge that does a better job for bicyclists and pedestrians, and that could possibly have bus only lanes. And I can tell you that even before that, we'll probably have an eastbound bus only lane, probably just in about a year and a half or two with the city's participation. We're also hearing some concerns about the impacts to nearby buildings and the impact on the overall transportation system. Very little disagreement, I can't think of any actually, with the four alternatives that we're proposing. We don't hear anybody saying, have you thought of this, or don't care. I'd say the fixed bridge probably has the most opponents because, as I explained, it would have a big impact to property on the west side of the bridge. But I think the Federal Highway Administration would want us to at least study it and understand it better before we eliminate it. There's more support for a new bridge than for fixing the old bridge. There's a little more support for a movable bridge than the fixed bridge, but we see a little support for both. People want us to do something iconic. It's such a central part of our city. It's really where east meets west and north meets south there. And then interest in, even if the bridge is replaced, can we do something to retain features of the old bridge and document it? And a few people who don't want it to be demolished, but frankly, we don't hear that too much. So we just today sent out an email to our 21 members of our community task force. Probably should have listed them all up here, but this was prepared before we got that out today. And Art is representing the county's Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee. So he's actually a member of this group. And then coming forward, this has got a lot of information on it, but if we focus on the top line, the blue line, we're in the fourth quarter of 2018. So we're starting to scope what will be studied in the environmental phase. And even though I showed you those four alternatives, they could still be refined a bit more before we do the notice of intent, which is sort of the step that kicks off the NEPA phase probably next fall. And when I say refine, you might think of these four as things you could hybridize, and you might be able to have a fixed bridge that had the Cooch extension, for example, just mixing different elements of them. We'd hope to choose our preferred alternative around the late summer of 2020, and then get our record of decision from the Federal Highway Administration in 2021, and that allows the design phase to begin and choosing the bridge type if it's going to be a new bridge. So upcoming activities, I think I've mentioned most of this. We're going to be back to brief the Portland Design Commission later this month. And then the county commissioners, when they vote on November 1, they're basically be approving, okay, these are the range of alternatives we're going to study in the environmental phase. This is the project's purpose and need statement. And these are all the topics that will be how these options will be analyzed. So traffic, air pollution, impact on historic resources. And we'd be happy to come back and talk with your group when we have more data on impacts to historic resources, for example. And I think that's my last slide. Yes. So any questions?
Thank you.
I have a question. Are you the options that are going to go before the commission November 1st to be included in the NEPA, is that going to include looking at preserving portions of the bridge, kind of as, or reflect some of the public comment?
So that would be mitigation. If probably any option would probably require some mitigation, because even if we save the old bridge and that is the alternative, it would be lots of changes to it. Lots of parts would be replaced, like the movable parts, for example. So I think that question of how do you preserve memory or pieces of the old bridge would be something that would come about in the mitigation, and we'd work with the State Historic Preservation Office and welcome your input on that. So it, the answer is yes, I guess, during the probably the latter part of the environmental phase.
Yeah, I have a question. I thought last time you were here, we had a couple of options, that one of which was higher, and then I guess that's the fixed one.
Yes.
And then the concern, of course, was that it was going to potentially encroach upon Skidmore, Old Town, etc. But I guess it wasn't clear to me that we were looking at either. There's only one option for saving the bridge, which is the retrofit. All the others are full replacements. Entirely.
Yeah, kind of the point of the feasibility study is to get it down to the best range. And when I say best, like all the reasonable things. And you notice we're all on Burnside except for the Cooch on the east side. So one thing we heard from the city was please avoid Northwest Cooch, because that goes right through the heart of the historic district. And Burnside, it's so much wider and can carry all that traffic. So I think the impacts have kind of been dialed back, with the biggest impact to the historic district probably being that fixed bridge, because I could have the landing go all the way to Fifth Avenue possibly. And you have the gate at Fourth Avenue for Chinatown. And you can see there'd be lots of impacts to that stretch between Fifth and, let's say, First or NATO.
So if you were to go with an option other than the retrofit, would you demolish the bridge, or what would happen to the bridge?
Yes, the bridge would be demolished for any of the three new bridge options.
So it couldn't be, I guess you couldn't do anything with it, like we did with, what's the name of that bridge?
Selwood?
Selwood.
Well, there wasn't much saved from Selwood.
Really?
Really, yeah. I think there was a little piece that was from the old Burnside Bridge. But the question of what to save is a great question, and we haven't even touched that. But I know the towers are oftentimes mentioned as something that the community is attached to, and the railing is kind of interesting, the old open railing. So that would be a topic for if we're going to have a new bridge, and also if we're going to change the appearance drastically by retrofitting the bridge, well, what could we save from what it looks like now?
So I guess this is a question for staff. If the bridge would be demolished, would that be a, what would that require a type 4 or?
Yeah.
No, it would.
Yeah.
Selwood Bridge was in a similar situation. It was on the National Historic Registry, and by replacing it with a new bridge, you have to do a lot of things like write a history about it and have photos taken, and we had a lot of plaques about the old bridge that are out there now to remind people what was there. So it'd be steps like that if we had a new Burnside Bridge.
And that would have been required under the NEPA analysis because of the 106 federal review, not the city's review, right? Did that go through a type 4, the Selwood?
Selwood did not, but that process might have been started before.
Okay.
The type 4 was instituted.
So the type 4, just for your edification, is a city legal requirement versus a federal legal requirement, which is probably what you're talking about with respect to the plaques and the history.
Yeah, and
my guess is that's a 106 thing.
And I think the State Historic Preservation Office was sort of who we negotiated that plan with. So maybe there's a role for the city in this type 4 review. I'm not the expert on that, but I'll report back to our NEPA expert that's a question.
Okay, great. Thanks. Yeah.
And just relating to that, you know, the whole process of sort of looking at the bridge as the resource has been you know, it's just interesting to hear you talk about it with this process and needing to get, you know, of course, the Federal Highway Administration to weigh in, and you have to go through the NEPA and the 4F. But you're, in any case, any of these four alternatives, you are impacting a resource that's at a higher level than this. I mean, the, you know, there's very few national historic landmarks, and, you know, Skidmore Old Town is definitely one of them. So how, you know, I just feel like this process has been weighted so much on, you know, impacts to the bridge, and yet we have this higher level of resource over here that is definitely going to be impacted.
The bridge itself, you mean?
No, I'm talking about the historic district.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So your whole process, you know, at meeting, you know, your NEPA and 4H requirements, 4F, excuse me, 4H, that's great.
It's an equestrian thing.
Yeah, exactly. I guess I get concerned that the focus is on the bridge, and it, obviously it has to be on the bridge, but it's also, you know, when we have a higher level of resource to protect, mm-hmm. It seems like those alternatives need to weigh that higher resource first.
Well, one thing that's changed since I think we came back last time is they're all back on Burnside, on the west side where the historic districts are. Where at one time, Cooch was in the mix, and even Ankeny, I think. So so the impacts to those historic resources have helped eliminate those options that would really have had big impacts.
Although the fixed, right. span, I mean, that it would...
It would definitely have a lot of impacts, yeah.
Massive impacts.
Yeah, so I think that's a good argument against it. And I think the Federal Highway Administration would want us to keep every kind of reasonable option on the table, and the cities helped eliminate, like, the ones that go up Northwest Cooch, for example. But yeah. I think they want us to look at least one fixed bridge, because it's actually a lot easier to design a fixed bridge to withstand a big earthquake than one with movable parts, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll carry that message back.
I mean, I don't have any suggestions or anything. I'm just curious because I've never seen a process that was sort of focused on one resource but was going to have impact on another resource that does, you know, it's at that higher level. There's just not that many national historic landmarks in Oregon or, you know, in the U.S. So.
It will have its, I mean, that resource will definitely be analyzed in the impacts of these four on it. And then we can evaluate which one has the least impacts, for example.
When do you anticipate having the Section 106 completed?
Is the Section 106 part of the NEPA phase?
Yes. It generally falls before that. So I would...
The short answer is I don't know. So I'm just capturing that question, and I can report back to staff on that.
Okay.
And who's
advising you about these requirements? And I only ask that not to be combative or whatever, but just it doesn't seem as though, you know, with the Type 4, for instance, it could very well be unlikely, but it could very well be that this body would not recommend proceeding with whatever option you guys come up with. And then City Council would then have to vote on it, depending on what happens, but there are very specific criteria that apply to the demolition of a historic resource, and to the extent that it negatively impacts national registered districts on the one hand. And again, it's very unlikely, but I'm just curious as to whether anyone has been advising you in terms of timing with the process. I guess that's why you're briefing us, right?
Yeah, the reason I'm here today too is the rest of the project team, including our NEPA consultant, are in a negotiating meeting that's scheduled for this afternoon. So I'm not the NEPA expert. I'm the public involvement person, but I'm capturing all your questions for our NEPA expert.
But the NEPA expert is also aware that in addition to NEPA, there are local requirements, right? They're more stringent than the
national ones.
Potentially.
He's locally based. So he's with Parametrics. So I think, pretty sure he's familiar with your process, but I'll double check that.
Okay. Thank
and
you.
And we have
met with the county and discussed that demolition of the bridge would require Type 4, as would demolition of any privately or publicly owned structures, buildings.
Good.
That would require Type 4 too.
Great. Just didn't want any nasty surprises.
Yeah, no surprises. That's our motto.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's one reason to have these briefings.
Yeah. Kristen, thanks. I was going to ask you the SHPO component, is that part of the Section 106? Or is that a separate kind of concurrent review?
I mean, I think they're just in an advisory capacity.
The SHPO.
Yeah.
Because like, don't they help sort of do the whole memorandum of agreement component of it? I guess what I was going towards is that also the mitigations depend on the impacts to the historic fabric. So I think
right.
it seems to me that would be an important component because the mitigations, and the mitigations I've seen, I'm sure you have too, mitigations can be, it doesn't have to specifically be saving portions of the bridge. It can actually potentially be, you know, doing a historic resources inventory of a neighborhood nearby. I mean, it can be what the SHPO determines, and if the greater the impact, the greater the mitigation, which is something that should be taken into account in these decisions. I wasn't sure if that was the Section 106, but regardless, SHPO is involved and we'll have...
I think they will be a party. That would be my guess.
I just don't aware.
To the MOA, yeah.
I think to Commissioner Foti's point, wouldn't it be nice to be able to opine or at least provide some input into that? I think that's what Kirk was
yeah, I remember
anxious
him making
about
a comment.
On a previous matter. For instance, your idea about the historic resources inventory, even if it were to, you know, to involve some sort of, I don't know, infusion, you know, donation to a fund that might even, you know, be for other parts of the city that haven't been well analyzed. I mean, maybe that could be something. But the state historic preservation office may not necessarily know that that's a priority for us. So I'm just thinking it'd be nice if our commission could have a little bit of a say or at least write a letter or something.
So I think what you're hearing is that this commission would appreciate at least maybe being asked if we could be a party to the MOA as well. There's probably going to be a long list of folks.
Okay.
But
there's this issue of coordinating and cooperating agencies. I don't know I don't think that's commissions. I think those are regulatory agencies. So, but I'll find out about the question about being party to the MOA.
Okay. I know that the commission can offer guidance and advice, but the commission cannot sign on to an MOA or an MOU. That would be somebody else at the city.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Appreciate your time, and I'll leave a few of our newsletters for this phase of the project too with staff. Is that okay?
Yeah. Great.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you.